This is Ruth Weiner together with Bess Karelitz. We are interviewing Dr. Paul Kaplan on Sunday morning, May the 3rd, at Dr. Kaplan's home. Dr. Kaplan, we're so happy to be here. All right, Paul. National Council of Jewish Women has been interested in talking with those people whom we perceive as being the leaders of our community, and we're proud and happy to come to you and to talk with you. And one of the things we'd like to start with is having you tell us something about your family, your mother, your father, your grandparents, about life as it was.
I'm complimented that I'm considered one of the leaders of the community. I'm really privileged to be interviewed, and I'm enjoying this, and I will enjoy this morning with the two lovely ladies here. You ask about my family. I'll start with an account which may be hearsay. It's never been authenticated, but it's come down through the history. My great-grandfather from Lithuania came to Western Pennsylvania, apparently Pittsburgh, at the time of the Civil War. He found this a backward community with no synagogue and very few Jews and nothing educational and nothing cultural, having lived previously in Vilnius, Lithuania, the center of Jewish culture. So after a few years, he returned to Lithuania. My father and the family therefore returned to Western Pennsylvania, having been told or having learned that there was a community here. And this apparently is the reason they came to Pittsburgh.
Can you tell us the name of your great-grandfather?
No. Well, my great-grandfather's name was Kaplan. If this was Kaplan in Lithuania, that probably...
And his first name here?
No. I may have those records, but I don't have them at the moment. My father left Lithuania at age 17, and his story is very similar to those of many young Jewish men of that generation. He was going to be inducted or taken into the Russian army, where they served for some 20 years. So his father put a few kopecks or whatever the currency was in Lithuania at the time and said, go to America. So he made his way from the town they lived in to a Baltic port. I believe it was Hanover, Germany. And found his way to New York, of course, and boarded a train without knowing any English to Pittsburgh, because he had known about Pittsburgh. But in addition, some other distant relatives, or rather not distant, but other relatives, had also come to Pittsburgh, the Levinson family, who are known in Pittsburgh as well. So that is the way that I happened to have made my way to Pittsburgh or to Western Pennsylvania as well.
Did the Levinsons come with your father?
No. They may have preceded him. My father learned English after he arrived here. He became apprenticed to a printer. How he met my mother, I'm not sure, but my mother was born in Pittsburgh. Her father had previously emigrated from mid-Europe, possibly Lithuania as well, to England, where he lived for a number of years, and then to Pittsburgh. And he was a peddler. And I can recall this very forbidding man, big man with a long white beard, and who was formidable and not very pleasant and not very warm and really frightening to me as a little boy. But in any event, we return. How they met, I'm not certain.
Your father's name?
Philip. My mother's name was Dora. Her name was Dora Friedman. It was a, most of the Friedmans are now deceased, but they were in the haberdashery business on, in the Hill District, on actually on Fifth Avenue, and then subsequently in Squirrel Hill. My father had deep training in Jewish literature and Hebrew in Europe, and when he came to Pittsburgh, he apparently got a degree, a high school degree, I don't know, and I never found this information. I've never discussed it. I didn't discuss it with him during his lifetime. Whether he went to school, I'm not sure how he got a high school diploma. My mother had finished high school and worked as a secretary in those days. Many young women learned shorthand and typing and were engaged in the secretary career, and that's what she did. She was a fairly large family. I think there were two sisters and one or two brothers. Her sister, now deceased, named Robin, married a man by the name of Robin, who went to a small town about 50 miles from Pittsburgh called California, Pennsylvania. It's on the Monongahela River, and opened a small men's working man's store. So after my father and mother's marriage, he left the printing trade which he was in, which he was employed, and turn off the mic. Did you? So because my father wanted to engage in some sort of business, and this is not unusual. Every young Jewish man in those days wanted to open a store, and the place to go was a small community. So he went off to California, Pennsylvania with his new bride, and found, a little storeroom, and opened now a ladies and children's store, since he couldn't go into a men's store in competition. And I was born in California, Pennsylvania. We lived in a house which was adjacent to, at that time, California State Normal School. That's a three-year educational school for teaching. It's now a full-fledged university. In fact, I returned to California 4 or 5 years ago, but that, I'll come back to that later. And I was born at home, like most children were born. And I do have a younger brother who's 5 years my junior.
And what is his name?
His name is Joseph.
We'll talk about him later, too.
Yeah. The store became very successful. He moved from one location to another and expanded, and I can remember it very well. It was very large, very busy, very successful. It was ladies and children's wear. There are a couple pleasant things about my life in California, but several that were unpleasant. I'll try to tell you about the pleasant things first. The store was very busy on, it was open Saturday evenings, and on there was a movie theater across the way, so my parents would take me to the theater, pop me into one of the seats, and I spent my Saturday evenings until they were ready to close watching the movies. So I remember Charlie Chaplin so well. As a matter of fact, Charlie Chaplin happens to be one of my favorite old actors. I've read several of his biographies, and I still enjoy seeing him. Whenever there is a film festival with Charlie Chaplin, I drag Gertrude. She's not quite as enthusiastic about Charlie Chaplin as I am. But that's getting away from my history. Stop for a moment, just to let you know where to go from here. I was born on November 21st, 1912. The name of the store is Kaplan's The Big Store. And obviously it was from Kaufman's The Big Store, I take on. At Christmas season, there were, my father had an enormous toy department for the Christmas season. And I would play with the toys and select those that I hoped would never be sold. But unfortunately, most of the toys were sold. So I was always sad on the night before Christmas because the toys that I had hoped would come into my possession were sold, and I had to take what was left. Nevertheless, I was never denied toys, of course, or other. I went to a grade school at California Normal School. There was a public school, and we were so close to the university that at that time a normal school that I was enrolled in the classes there. And these were kind of experimental classes. I remember them vaguely. I don't remember much of the detail, but I do remember something rather important. California was a coal mining town, and there was a small community called Daisy Town that was very adjacent to it, and the young people of Daisy Town, foreign stock students who also went to California. And I was, I think, the only Jewish student in the school. And I was I had friends among the non-Jewish students, a couple warm friends. But these young, big boys of foreign background would attack this little Jewish boy. So I learned to be a runner. I would run fast. I used to run around the block practicing, so when I was accosted, I could run faster than they. And that's the way I escaped. It was either fight or run, and I was not big enough or strong enough to fight, so I learned to run. I never pursued that sport after that, however. There was a small synagogue in the town, and an itinerant rabbi who would come for services, and then somebody who taught Hebrew or taught the I presume it's Hebrew. And it was not, we didn't, it wasn't taught as a language, it was taught as a rote. And I remember disliking this very much. It was hardly challenging, and could not pursue or develop any interest in Judaism as a language or as a religious experience, but I can say that I am nevertheless a committed Jew. Joseph was 5 years younger, and we had a good relationship. We played together. I remember one incident. There was a photographer, and we had been given police uniforms just to play with, so I remember as a little boy dragging him to the photographer, having our picture taken, and then the photographer calling my parents, unknown to them, that they had a picture of us. I developed a friendship with a young boy, tall, white hair, whose name was Ellsworth Whitehead. Whited, W-H-I-T-E-D. Ellsworth. Ellsworth was a very awkward fella. And we had a lot of funny experiences, and I still use these experiences to recount to first my children and now my granddaughter. He had a paper route, and I would follow him on his paper route because he would throw the papers not onto the porch but onto the gutter, and then I would feel very guilty about not his routees not getting the newspapers, so I would follow him and retrieve the papers and put them on the porch. And then I remember these little incidents, if they're of value to you.
Well, they're charming, yes.
There was California's little town, there was a small stream not far from the edge of the town, and we would go fishing, and we walked to the stream, and we'd have our lunches packed. But invariably, he would either fall into the water, or our lunches would fall into the water. There was always some occurrence in our lives with Ellsworth. I'll have to recall others, but this is kind of an example of this. I went back to California 5 or 6 years ago, and I could find no trace of his family or of him, so I don't know where he is. I had one very close and warm non-Jewish friend named Robert Wood, who is since deceased, and I've learned. There were... of little incidents. Robert Wood, our favorite lunch, we would go to his home and make very tiny cheese sandwiches. I continue with my daughters, and now my granddaughter, I emulate him. I get a piece of bread, a slice of cheese, and make the very tiny sandwiches to tell that this is the kind of lunch that we would make. So, there were a couple other Jewish families also in business, because what else do Jewish men and women do in small towns but go into business? I had some relationships with them. I don't even recall their names now, but I will with time. there were some families in the town that we had some superficial social relationship. Next door neighbor was a superintendent of a coal mine. There was an Italian family across the street that had children my age. They had a bicycle and I would ride their bicycle. I never owned a bicycle. I guess my father and mother was fearful that I would hurt myself on a bicycle. I'm going to go on to a kind of sorry and soulful area. My father's business was exceedingly successful, and it aroused a good deal of enmity among some of the people in California. One day, he received a note from the Ku Klux Klan, and then telling him to get out of the city. And then he received other notes. And then a cross was burnt in our backyard. And that's when he said, it's time to leave. I was age 11. So he sent his two boys, my younger brother and I, to Pittsburgh to live with relatives. Well, he found a buyer for the business. We subsequently learned that the buyer for the business had a consort, a lady friend, and he wanted the business for her. And he bought the business for her. And so that ended our life in California, Pennsylvania. I'll return to Pittsburgh shortly. There were a couple other amusing incidents in California. I'm backtracking now.
Yes, all right, good.
In those days, my father wanted an automobile, and the automobiles were just new. And one just went in and bought a car. He didn't take driver's lessons at all. He just bought a car. So each Sunday, we would go to Pittsburgh to buy meat, kosher meat. And we usually took a train, but in those days they were frequent. Trains were frequent, frequent source of source of transportation. But after we bought the car, we're now going to drive to Pittsburgh. So he started out not having any lessons, left the town, went up a hill, and drove into a ditch. So he had to get out and find a farmer with two horses to pull him out of the ditch. Thereafter, I was given two large wooden blocks. And when we went up a hill, I would follow the car, and if it was going to go backwards, I would put the blocks behind the rear wheels to keep it from going backwards. So all the way from here, from California to Pittsburgh, when we came to a hill, I got out of the car. And, you know, in those days, the automobiles had no windshield wipers. So he would, when it rained, I would reach out as a 10-year-old boy from the right side of the car to wipe the right windshield, and he would reach out from the left to wipe the left windshield. And, that's just a kind of side issue. I guess at this point, anything else about California you'd like to know?
Well, you talked about going to Hebrew school. You kept on going to Hebrew school, liking it or not liking it.
Yeah, yes, I did.
Sunday school?
This was Hebrew school was Sunday school in California.
I see.
There was organized Sunday school as such. In fact, there were no girls in our Hebrew school class. There was just a half a dozen Jewish boys. I have since gone back to California, and I did find the synagogue. The synagogue is now a bar and tavern. And I recognize the synagogue because above the bar and tavern are still the Hebrew lettering.
Do you remember the name of what it was?
No.
So then you came to Pittsburgh.
We came to Pittsburgh and bought a house on Phillips Avenue, where we lived for a number of years. My father invested in some real estate then. He had a brother-in-law who advised him more or less poorly. But he eventually, after a few years, became tired. He was still a relatively young man. Became tired of or bored with inactivity, so he opened a ladies' store in Keys Rocks, because a uncle of mine had a store there. It didn't do very well, so he closed it and then opened the store in Gannett, Pennsylvania. We went to Gannett because we had relatives named Kaplan who had a Kaplan Iron and Steel Company, and that's the Kaplan family that had also come to this area. I mentioned previously Kaplan Levinson. And he was in business in Gannett, Pennsylvania. He would drive back and forth for many, many years until his retirement in the mid-60s or early 70s, I think, when he retired. He eventually died. He was a very heavy smoker, and he died of cancer of the lung at age 72. We were living then on street below Beacon is Bartlett Street. let's see. We came to Pittsburgh, and I was age 11, enrolled in Colfax School. And I really, this is not original, I should quote from Woody Allen. Woody Allen describes his youth very much as I found it. I joined a neurotic group of Jewish boys. Woody Allen tells the story. There were two baseball teams in his little community. One was called the Nose Pickers, and the other was called the Bedwetters. And he decided to join the Bedwetters because at least they would not know. And that's the kind of group that I went into. His early life, I had some similarities. I had a lot of guilt feelings. I don't know why I was going guilty, but he was so guilty too. He tells the story that on the baseball team, he once stole second base, but so felt so guilty that he ran back to first. But anyway, you need not include this unless you want to. But I was not a great athlete, but nevertheless, I played baseball. I can remember the day that I hit a home run, and that was the miraculous achievement of my athletic career. But I did join groups that we played in the summer, and Colfax was a pleasant experience. The teachers were good, and I was very comfortable there. I was given piano lessons, but when my father said, "You're going to be a great concert pianist," I decided I didn't want to become a pianist. I didn't want any more piano lessons. maybe his remarks discouraged me. My mother was never a well woman. She had...
End of tape one, side one, to be continued.
She died subsequently, and I'll tell you about that later. But I do recall that...